Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so happy you all are here to share in this time to remember the love that's within us all. Let's close our eyes together, take a few moments to turn to that space within, that quiet place in our minds that we all share, the home of the Holy Spirit. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. With the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. I love that we had a kitty cat say hello. Paula, was that your cat?
Oh, I'm gonna have to. She's sitting here. I don't know. I may have to put her away.
She knows where the good energy is.
Oh, she's so
that was sweet.
She
All
really
right.
is sweet.
Aw. Okay, so again, we're at the very beginning of Chapter 9. In the Sparkle edition, in the original edition, and in the FIP edition, it's Chapter 9, Part 3. It's called The Correction of Error. We actually read the first paragraph last week, but I'm just going to read it again since we're at the very beginning. So I'll read the first two paragraphs, and then I'll pause there. The Correction of Error. The alertness of the ego to the errors which other egos make is not the kind of vigilance the Holy Spirit would have you maintain. Egos are critical in terms of the kind of sense they stand for. They understand this kind of sense because it is sensible to them. To the Holy Spirit, it makes no sense at all. To the ego, it is kind and right and good to point out errors and correct them. This makes perfect sense to the ego, which is totally unaware of what errors are and what correction is. Errors are of the ego, and the correction of errors of any kind lies solely in the relinquishment of the ego. When you correct a brother, you are telling him that he is wrong. He may be making no sense at the time, and it is certain that, if he is speaking from the ego, he will be making no sense. But your task is still to tell him he is right. You do not tell him this verbally if he is speaking foolishly, because he needs correction at another level, since his error is at another level. He is still right because he is a son of God. His ego is always wrong, no matter what it says or does. And I'll pause there. This is good stuff.
Sorry, Corinne, when you were saying the page number, Skype cut out on me, so can you just repeat that really
quick? Sure. We're at the very, very beginning of Chapter 9, so in the Sparkle edition, it's page 205.
Thank you.
You got it. I actually don't even think I said the page number. I think I just said the chapter, so thank you for asking that question. So this is huge because, and it's funny because, you know, spending more, the Holy Spirit will use anything that we've made on behalf of our awakening, including Facebook. And spending time on Facebook, it's really easy to talk with other course students. You know, there's groups, there's pages, even on, you know, sites like MiracleShare. And it's so funny because I will often read certain comments too, and there is a lot of, I feel like course students can be the most critical in terms of correcting one another sometimes. And of course, you know, there's some usefulness, I guess, in clarifying the course and the course's messages, but it's always just interesting to see that. So if we are, then actually I'm jumping ahead, but the first sentence of the next paragraph we're going to read is that if we point out the errors of our brother's ego, we have to be seeing through ours. So it always comes back to our willingness to see differently. And again, being willing to see the truth in that other person, because as the Holy Spirit in our mind joins with the Holy Spirit in the other person's mind, that's how healing happens. So I love this stuff. What's come up for you? Any comments or questions so far?
One of the things that's come up for me recently, most of the week, I'm just noticing, because we've talked so much about the two voices and two choices, and that, you know, that critical voice, I'm so aware of it. And, you know, I just keep saying, oh, thank you for sharing, and get off of it, you know, because it's become so obvious. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, because we don't have to listen to that.
Right, right. That awareness is key. So that's what I'm hearing you describe, is that you have that awareness to say, okay, yeah, no thanks. You hear it and you don't listen to it.
And I criticize the voice for the ego criticizes myself, and
mm-hmm.
it criticizes everyone out there
mm-hmm.
in some way throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
and it's really good to become very aware of that,
mm-hmm.
and just realize that's not my voice, that's not the voice for God.
Yeah. Oh, I love that you just said that's not my voice, because that ego voice is not our voice. That recognition.
It's not.
Is huge. It's not our voice.
Oh, I like that. Because I just thought of something last night. I was with a group of people, and this one person was making a little dig at me. And, you know, if I think of it that way, that's not her voice.
I love that. So then you can even see that in other people then.
In other people. That's not her voice.
Yeah,
she wouldn't do
yeah.
that if she was thinking yeah. with God.
Right. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And how, I mean, that's huge. That's huge for then not, you know, not believing that it's real, not, you know, making that into a grudge, not making that into something that, you know, you're then going to hang on to, you know, crucify that person, to instead have that instant recognition that that's not her voice, that if she were thinking with God, that wouldn't be.
And really,
that,
you know, if I'm crucifying that person, I'm crucifying myself.
Absolutely. That's
right. You know, this is Carol, and Paula, thank you very much. I know we talked about this last week, about the two voices, and it was extremely helpful to me. However, I forgot about it.
Yeah, I know. That's easy to do.
And I have been making the – I have not been making the choice for peace. And I've been feeling worn down this week. My sister has cancer, and I know it's an illusion. I can say that on this telephone call.
Mm-hmm.
And I am getting a call from her every day.
Mm-hmm.
I went like 6 months without hearing from her, and now every day I'm getting a telephone call from her. And I actually made the choice today not to pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I was in a place where I could mm-hmm. have a conversation, a kind conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't do it. And then right before this call, I was putting something near my china cabinet, which I have had for 30-plus years, and noticed that my dog had scratched the entire top of it. Like she had just like, and it must have just happened like a few days ago. And all I could think, first of all, I was shocked. I was like, oh my God, where did this come from? Well, her treat container is very near my china cabinet. And when Paul, when I heard Lucy, is it Lucy that was meowing?
Oh, no,
Ethel?
That was actually Ethel. I put them both in the other room.
When I heard Ethel, I was like, I can't see, you know, my dog's laying there with this beautiful look, and I just could not see her as the Holy Spirit. I was not seeing good things with her.
Oh,
and
poor
Faith
is in the doghouse.
One of the things that I thought of right away was, and some people will remember this that was on the call a while ago, was the roses my husband gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And Deidre had pointed out recently about how they looked dead, and then the next time I looked at them, they were absolutely gorgeous. And I'm going, okay, Carol, you just have to walk away from this right now. I'm not seeing things right. And I'm, you know, like you talk about the two voices, Paula.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's a act of kindness toward yourself to allow yourself to be where you're at and to recognize that if you need a break, if you need a breather, if you need some space, that you're willing to give that to yourself.
Thank you. I'm going to listen tonight.
Yeah, that's the kindest thing that you can do.
Yeah, because in addition to what everyone else has said, when you don't take the time for self-care, you're not able to support a brother or sister anyway. So it's really important to listen to that voice when you feel depleted. And allow yourself that care.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, too, is that if you notice even the slightest twinge of guilt over that, over, you know, not picking up the phone or withdrawing or just needing time off, it might be there. If it is, be willing to look at that, you know, with spirit. It's that would only be the ego slipping in there again, you know, trying to reinforce itself. So, you know, we need not feel guilty for doing what we have to do.
I have a question.
Sure.
So my question is, because I'm really new to A Course in Miracles. My question is, so I'm going to make this up. Say I'm with my sister, she and I are hanging out, and she says something, and it strikes me in a way that where I feel uncomfortable. Even though I don't say something to her about it, like we just read, you're not supposed to point it out, but me recognizing that somebody else is having an error, the recognition itself of somebody making an error, is that my ego making that recognition?
Yes. Great question.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because even if we don't, you know, say anything necessarily, just the fact that we're seeing it is that it's because we're seeing it through our own ego. And that's where we can't fix this of ourselves. We can't, you know, we can't not see that, you know, other person speaking foolishly on our own. The only way that we can work our way out of this is to, again, turn to that thing, the Holy Spirit thing. I can't think of a better word at the moment, but that you know, the Holy Spirit, something outside of our current thought system, outside of our ego thought system, to help us in correction. So it would be a matter, you know, if you're in that situation like you described, and, you know, somebody says something and it makes you feel uncomfortable, or, you know, whatever, you know, you have that urge to point it out to them, there's a couple things to keep in mind. One is that we have to be where we're at. So if we just can't keep it in, like if it's just going to come out, then we just have to go through our lesson, go through that situation, you know, let it come out, correct that person, not feel guilty about it, and take that all to the Holy Spirit. if we don't feel that we actually need to, you know, try to fix that person or do something out there, we can still just recognize that we're seeing through our own ego and, again, turn to the Holy Spirit within and asking to see the situation differently, because it's through that path that we'll come to recognize that, you know, who that person truly is. We'll come to recognize that, that love, that light in that other person, because it's in ourselves. It's in ourselves.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I've noticed a lot lately of my own judgments. I never thought I was a judgmental person, but the more I'm studying, and I'm also in recovery. And so just like everything is so much more clear, and I never realized how judgmental I really am. And just because, like, I was having a conversation with one of my sober friends the other day, and just because, it was just yesterday, actually. Just because I have a thought and I don't actually say it out loud, does that mean that I'm not a judgmental person? I'm still having a judgment. I'm just keeping it to myself, so it makes me appear that I'm not judgmental. But I am realizing that I am more judgmental than I ever thought that I was.
And that's beautiful, because that's exactly, we all do that. That's the ego. That is, you know, the ego thought system is a judgmental thought system. And so the willingness to recognize that and to be honest about it is huge. That's what's needed to be able to bring those dark spots to the light, is that complete honesty, that radical honesty, and that willingness to hand that over to see it differently. I like to think of it too. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'll just quickly finish. In terms of the judgmental thoughts that we have, and the options that we have, you know, for working things out on this level, when we notice those judgmental thoughts, if we feel compelled to share it, or if we feel just like we're going to keep it in, if we don't hand it up, if we don't hand it over to the Holy Spirit or look at it with the Holy Spirit, we're still staying in this plane. We're still, you know, going right or left rather than turning upwards and handing it, you know, to be transformed for the miracle. So in other words, if we do something about that judgmental thought, you know, out in the world, or if we stuff it and just hold it within, stuffing it and holding it within is just the same as, you know, perhaps saying it or trying to fix something out there, because it's just still keeping the ego going. It's not undoing anything. To undo it is where we have to bring it to the Holy Spirit. So that willingness, that recognition that you have of just those judgments, that's huge. And I feel like that's a really, really, really good place to be, actually, to be able to be willing to see all that. And it can be so fleeting and so tiny too. You know, we have those little tiny socially unacceptable thoughts where maybe we see, I was writing about this recently, like, you know, you log onto Facebook and maybe you see somebody that you know who's going through some kind of difficult time, and there's that really fleeting socially unacceptable thought of, ha-ha, you know, and we don't want to admit that because that's ugly, and yet that willingness to admit that that flew through the mind however fast is what the Course is asking us to do in terms of acknowledging those tiny scraps of fear. In this Sparkle Edition, it refers to it as scraps of meanness, to bring those to the Holy Spirit to allow them to be undone.
And again, not to identify your true being, your true self, with those thoughts.
Right. You don't have a judgmental personality. The ego is judgmental. You are not your ego. You are not Allison.
Got it. So you said that you turn it upwards. You don't want to go left or right. You want to go up, or give it to God, or give it to the Holy Spirit, or however. How do you do that?
It's that upwards is just a turning toward the Holy Spirit. I used to say a lot, you know, I give it to the Holy Spirit. Like I would just imagine myself giving that thought or giving whatever it is to the Holy Spirit. Now it's sort of morphed into me saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you. So that is, again, if you think of the Holy Spirit being in like a different plane or, you know, having the ability to intercept this plane, that to me is what I mean when I say, you know, going up, going vertical. It's about turning to the Holy Spirit rather than just staying in the ego, which is the right or left part of what I meant. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Good, good. And I heard somebody else speaking. It was Paul or Tony. I'm not sure who.
It was me. What you said was pretty much what I was going to say is the paragraphs and what people have been saying reminded me of, as I've been studying the course, I realize more and more how judgmental I am. And the way I could kind of tell when I was in that space is I wouldn't be at peace. And if I'm not feeling at peace, sometimes, like I would say 95% of the time, it's because there's some judgment that I'm thinking in my head. Like I may not say it either, and that's been really huge to be able to build that awareness through doing this work and noticing that. And it's so much more peaceful when you can let it go, like see it and then be able to let it go.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to add to that if I could, because that was really huge for me when I first found the course. Like the course found me, actually. And I was such a control freak in every area of my life. Like I wanted to know how things were going to happen, when they were going to happen, blah, 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 like all everything. Even to the point where if I felt like I was having a judgmental thought, I felt like I had to control my thoughts. Like it was my job to control my thoughts. But now I'm in this space where I just give my thought, whatever I'm thinking, to Spirit, and I ask Spirit to help me transmute my thoughts into the truth. Because when I'm in that funky space, I know it's not the truth. And so I'm not seeing with love. I'm not seeing with correct perception. So I think when we start out with the course, it's quite normal to feel like we have to, like, control what we're thinking every moment of the day, but we actually don't.
Right. Oh, I'm so glad you shared that, Deidre. That I've said this quote from the course before many times. It's one of my favorites. It's that it's not that we're going to stop having judgmental thoughts or negative thoughts. It's that we have none that we would keep. And you described that beautifully, Deidre, with, you know, you recognize it and you bring it to Spirit. Did I hear another voice? Somebody else going to share something?
Just beautiful. Very, very nice.
Thank you, Deidre. That was so helpful.
Thank you, everyone.
Let's read the next paragraph. If you point out the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seeing through yours, because the Holy Spirit does not perceive his errors. This must be true if there is no communication at all between the ego and the Holy Spirit. The ego makes no sense, and the Holy Spirit does not attempt to understand anything that arises from it. Since he does not understand it, he does not judge it, knowing that nothing it engenders means anything. Again, super powerful paragraph here. If you point out the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seeing through yours. So the work always comes back to us. It's never about, oh, you know, this person isn't getting it or they're not seeing it. It's about me seeing through my own ego that I think I'm seeing that they're not getting it. All I'm doing is reinforcing that separation by my judgment of where they're at. And it's interesting here, too, we start getting a flavor of how the Holy Spirit works. And it says here, the Holy Spirit does not perceive his errors. the ego makes no sense, and the Holy Spirit does not attempt to understand anything that arises from it. Since he does not understand it, he does not judge it. So the Holy Spirit simply looks past everything that's not true to the truth beyond it. And that's how the Holy Spirit heals.
And I think when we turn to him in those situations, we overlook them, you know? But
right.
we're really not doing it. It's being done through us.
We're not doing it alone. It's through us, exactly, exactly. Yes. Let's take the next paragraph. This section, I'm pretty sure in both, yeah, Sanity and Perception in the Sparkle and Original Edition. I think in the FIP edition it just keeps going in the same section. So Sanity and Perception. When you react at all to errors, you are not listening to the Holy Spirit. He has merely disregarded them, and if you attend to them, you are not hearing him. If you do not hear him, you are listening to your ego and making as little sense as the brother whose errors you perceive. This cannot be correction. Yet it is more than merely lack of correction for him. It is the giving up of correction in yourself. And that's how the ego is so sneaky, because so we see so-and-so is just not getting it. You know, like we see that our brother is just talking nonsense and not getting it. Even in just that statement, the ego has already snuck back in, and we don't see it because we're focused on that other brother's errors rather than the fact that we're the one that now needs correction. And the Course talks, too, about how when we make one step down that path, we won't see, you know, we can quickly keep going down that path. So that's where, again, in any given moment, we can reverse all that by asking, by turning to the Holy Spirit and asking for the miracle instead. I can think of a number. I can't think of specific examples, but I can think of just a number of times when this has happened. It's been a subtle little, you know, annoyance or judgment, and it just sort of downward spirals until I feel in such a funk that I'm like, how the heck did I get here? That's how. Because the ego, again, is insidious, and it's going to take any chance it can get to get back in there. Comments, questions, what's coming up?
It happens throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Over and over and over. And it just seems to me like the more I can just kind of skirt it and do something that makes me happy,
mm-hmm.
I can get past it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just simply say, Holy Spirit, help. Help.
Yeah.
Help.
Any other comments or questions?
Something that has been helping me lately, because sometimes it's a challenge to find the balance between kind of living in the world and not being of this world, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are talking to you and they're invested in their story and what's going on for them, my ego used to and still does on occasion go into judgment, but I've found that I've somewhat been able to train my mind when the person is talking to be saying to myself, whatever their story is, whatever they're telling me, that's not true, that's not true. And so I'm listening to them. I'm not changing what they're telling me, but I'm also not taking part in the story. I don't know if that resonates for anyone, but I've found it, like, for example, if someone is telling me that they don't have money and they're afraid of, they're telling me about their fear, the that's not true part helps me to see the truth in them rather than concentrate on the fear in them. So that's...
I'm not always very good at doing that in when it's happening, you know? One of the people I work with, sometimes she just seems off the wall to me. I mean, like, I have no idea where she's coming from. And, you know, I'll get into that kind of judgmental state of mind when I'm in that situation. But as soon as I get away from it, I'll literally take out a workbook lesson. I'll do anything to shift that because it's not the truth about her.
And whatever you're doing, Paula, is absolutely perfect. Like, I don't get it right all the time either. But I've found that when I can, when I am in the space where I'm able to do that, it's a helpful tool.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Definitely.
And thank you for saying it, because, you know, I'll try to remember that in the next situation that arises, to just not buy into it. But, you know, it really doesn't matter to me, because when I get away from it, I will make a point of taking it to the Holy Spirit or reading the Course, doing anything to get, you know, to shift it. We're never stuck.
Yeah, never. And it's so funny just thinking back, because when I was working in a college counseling center for many years, and I had been studying the Course already for many years, I would go to work almost every single day, and it was as if I was going into another dimension where the Course just was, like, out of my head. And I would remember it, you know, right before I was walking into the door and the moment I stepped out of the door. And it didn't matter, because what mattered was, again, as soon as you remember, just take it to the Holy Spirit then. If time is an illusion, it just doesn't matter. And so, you know, there were moments certainly when it was in my awareness, of course, you know, during the day, but it seemed a challenge for me to remember it in the moment. But I ultimately found it just didn't matter, because the moment that you do remember, that's when we take it to the Holy Spirit. That's when we pick up the Course again.
And may I please just say this? Why do we want to do that? Because we want to be happy.
Yes.
We want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel good. My God, it's like we lose sight of that. Why do we do that? Why do we need this? We want to feel good. That's God's will for us. He wants us to be happy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's a
and
there's a good quote.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Harry.
No, go ahead. You were going first.
There's a line in the Course that I love that kind of pertains to this. It's, if you perceive offense in a brother, pluck the offense from your own mind. So why am I triggered by you? What is it that's going on within me that is so upset with what you're doing? Or why do I feel so hypercritical about this person? So it's never about the other person. It's always about the healing that needs to occur with us.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was so. I'm so glad that you brought that up, Tony. That's super, super helpful. I love that quote. If you perceive an offense in your brother, pluck that offense from your own mind. And you reminded me too of that prayer that Nook Sanchez has often shared. That Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using you, whoever, to attack myself and to separate from your love. So it's always me. It always comes back to us, what's going on in us. That, you know, we're the ones that have called forth the guilt that we subconsciously or unconsciously carry in our mind is what's calling forth any challenge, you know, that comes forward as a witness to the ego. The ego is constantly looking for witnesses to reinforce itself. So it's always about bringing it back to what's going on in me.
Yeah.
It was so helpful. Thank you. Oh, go on.
And, you know, these people that we find ourselves being critical towards, they're our greatest teachers. Some of my greatest teachers have been difficult coworkers, roommates, you know, people like that who really make me look at my own stuff and why, you know, they trigger me so much.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I tell myself whenever this stuff comes up is this is when I practice the course.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
You know, this is my opportunity to correct this.
Yep. And that's why it's coming up, right? It's another layer of that onion that's surfacing for us to be willing to allow it to have it undone.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. I love how you said that they're, you know, those difficult people are our greatest teachers. I completely agree. And I, you know, I immediately think too, in my life, my greatest teacher, my absolute greatest teacher has been the anxiety issues that I've faced. And so rather than running away from it, it became an opportunity to heal. Just like you said.
So today I had my daughter and I was getting frustrated with her. And so I picked up one of my little devotional books and I looked up what frustration and I found this passage and I won't read the whole thing. But the part that really struck out to me and I highlighted is, it never occurred to us that we needed to change ourselves to meet conditions, whatever they are. So for so long, I never realized, you know, I want to control things out of fear. And and I've always wanted the other person to change. But what I need to do is to change myself so I can be in any situation, anywhere, and I'll be okay, because the only person we can change is who we are.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just,
so
it true. Reinforces what everyone else is saying, and I'm being redundant, but.
No, it adds. It adds to it. It very much adds to it. Thank you. That was really helpful.
I find, too, when I'm really willing to get to that place where I'm willing to look at whatever a situation is bringing up for me, whether it's with another person or situation, that other person, it's like Paul was saying, it's never about the other person. It's about what's coming up for you. And I always feel like whatever it is, whatever relationship is there is just projecting my own fear back to me. And when I'm really willing to look at it, that's when a healing occurs. So.
Oh, that's right on target.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is speaking loudly through every single person. it's so much that's been shared tonight is just really resonating. Very much, all of it is very much on target. How about we read another paragraph? I think when a brother behaves insanely, I think we're there.
Yeah.
When a brother, thank you. When a brother behaves insanely, you can heal him only by perceiving the sanity in him. If you perceive his errors and accept them, you are accepting yours. If you want to give yours over to the Holy Spirit, you must do this with his. Unless this becomes the one way in which you handle all errors, you cannot understand how all errors are undone. How is this different from telling you that what you teach, you learn? Your brother is as right as you are, and if you think he is wrong, you are condemning yourself. I love this. Just again, this speaks so loudly to me that we can heal our brother and heal ourselves only by perceiving the sanity in him. And again, that's through the Holy Spirit. So we're perceiving. The way that we perceive the sanity is, again, just that willingness to take what we see to the Holy Spirit and have that sanity be shown to us. So So if we want to give our errors over to the Holy Spirit to get those miracles instead, we have to do that with his as well. So what we see, again, we give over to the Holy Spirit. I love this paragraph. I feel like such a broken record because I've shared this story so many times, but it was just such a clear, there have been a number of them that I've shared, but just such a clear example of when I was just simply willing to see, to trust that the Holy Spirit was in a person that I was speaking with. They were speaking very foolishly in my judgment, and I was willing to trust that the Holy Spirit was in them, period. And the miracle that came about, the shift that they had, and what that taught me, because I brought this example up so many times, I hope you can, you know, sort of appreciate just the fact of the learning that I got from that situation where, you know, my decision to not outwardly try to fix that person and instead take my desire to do that to the Holy Spirit and my willingness to just simply trust that the Holy Spirit was in that person and to see then that person, to hear that person start speaking more truth to me was, it just knocked my socks off. It was pretty cool.
I think that's a good example of what Deidre was just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take the next paragraph. You cannot correct yourself. Is it possible then for you to correct another? Yet you can see him truly because it is possible for you to see yourself truly. It is not up to you to change him, but merely to accept him as he is. His errors do not come from the truth that is in him, and only this truth is yours. His errors cannot change this and can have no effect at all on the truth in you. To perceive errors in anyone and to react to them as if they were real is to make them real for you. You will not escape paying the price for this, not because you are being punished for it, but because you are following the wrong guide and will lose your way. It's so obvious, isn't that those first two sentences, you cannot correct yourself. Yeah, absolutely. I totally am with that. And then it says, is it possible then for you to correct another? And it's like, oh, right. If I can't correct myself, surely I can't correct another. And yet we can just, you know, again, when we're listening to the ego, it can seem like we can.
Rin, yeah, it will just constantly try to convince you otherwise.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. I really saw the humor in that. What were we going to add, Carol?
Well, that's exactly what Paula said. The ego will continually try to, at least for me, that's what was happening, try to convince me otherwise. I mean, I thought, yeah, I can correct myself and, you know, not realizing that that was the ego talking.
Right, right.
And it kept trying and kept trying and kept trying.
Has anybody else had anything come up so far? Any examples, insights, questions?
The one thing that just keeps coming into mind is, and I'm pretty sure it's, isn't it in the Course, it says, it's never what you think your brother did to you, it's what you think you did to him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world is upside down, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's all upside down thinking. So you're never upset with him for what you thought he did to you. It's what you thought you did to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It one example of this, when my husband was alive, he had crazy hours, and we really didn't get to be together very often. I mean, during, you know, every day we only really saw one another a couple of hours a day because of his crazy hours, and I was always running out on him at night, you know, because I hated just hanging around here by myself because he had to go to bed, and I was always running out. And yet, until I realized that, I felt like he was always running out on me. He was never here for me. But when we did have an opportunity together, I was always running out on him. Mm-hmm. And it was really a good thing for me to realize, because I was projecting that on him. And it was very helpful, because once I got that, things started to really smooth out.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you shared that example. It reminds me, you know, I often think about projection on, like, you know, with the courses, more abstract teachings about, like, you know, projecting our unconscious guilt and fear. And then it's just what your example, though, Paula, just, you know, brought to mind. I remember a few weeks ago, I don't remember the situation, but I remember thinking that I was feeling like maybe my husband was mad at me. And when I got clear on it, I was like, no, wait, I'm mad at him. I'm pissed off and I don't want to own my anger. So instead I'm like, oh, you know, did I do something to upset you? And there was some, I don't remember the details again of the situation, but that's projection. It's, you know, we don't want to own something that's within us. And so we see it out there. So it's pretty remarkable when we can see it happening in action like that. Other comments or questions or insights? So again, just to reemphasize, and we'll move on to the next paragraph, but that very last sentence, you will not escape paying the price for this, not because you're being punished for it, but because you are following the wrong guide and will lose your way. So again, there's never any, that just jumped out at me real quick, that there's never any cause for guilt or to feel like we actually are being punished, that God is teaching us lessons or anything like that. We're simply going to, when we're choosing for the wrong guide, when we're listening to the ego, we're just going to lose our way, and that brings pain with it. It's not that God or anything or the Holy Spirit is doing anything to us or punishing us for following the wrong guide. It's simply because by following the wrong guide, it doesn't make us happy. Like Paula so clearly said before, we want to be happy. This makes us happy.
It's always the bottom line.
Mm-hmm, it is.
It really is. It's always the bottom line. I mean, what do you want? You want to be right or you want to be happy?
Right.
And when you lose your way, you're not happy.
Nope. Absolutely.
And then you're not in alignment. Because really, I think the only problem any of us has is when we're not in alignment with, when we're not thinking with God, we're not aligned with God.
Let's take the next paragraph. We have two left. I think we can get it done before the top of the hour. Your brother's errors are not of him any more than yours are of you. Accept his errors as real, and you have attacked yourself. If you would find your way and keep it, see only the truth beside you, for you walk together. The Holy Spirit in you forgives all things in you and in your brother. His errors are forgiven with yours. Atonement is no more separate than love. Atonement cannot be separate because it comes from love. Any attempt you make to correct a brother means that you believe correction by you is possible, and this can only be the arrogance of the ego. Correction is of God, who does not know of arrogance. The Holy Spirit forgives everything, because God created everything. Do not undertake his function, or you will forget yours. Accept only the function of healing in time, because that is what time is for. God gave you the function to create an eternity. You do not need to learn this, but you do need to learn to want this. And for this, all learning was made. This is the Holy Spirit's good use of an ability which you do not need, but which you have made. Give it to him. You do not know how to use it. He will teach you how to see yourself without condemnation by learning how to look on everything without it. Condemnation will then not be real to you, and all your errors will be forgiven.
Can I say something?
Please.
I'm sure I've read this. I know I've read this. I read it this week, and I've read it many, many times before. But I've had that experience before with the Course where it's like I'm reading it for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And that is just such a beautiful, beautiful gift.
It is, isn't it?
Oh.
Was there anything that stood out to you in particular?
Well, as you were reading it, I think the very last line where it says, condemnation will then not be real to you and all your errors will be forgiven. That is the most beautiful thing.
Mm.
And I felt, as I'm listening to everybody tonight, like I am wrapped in a very soft, warm blanket.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I need.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You are. We are surrounding our love around you.
Thank you.
Mm.
And the very, very cool thing about it is I am loving my sister unconditionally right now.
Mm, beautiful.
And so the only way I could do that is to be accepting of Holy Spirit's love for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wow.
And I was refusing it, just refusing it.
Wow. What a powerful, it sounds like you have had a powerful shift.
Yeah.
That sounds really profound.
Well, that, you know, that perception is everything.
It is. Oh, my gosh, it is. Two things actually really jump out at me in these paragraphs. Actually, I'm looking more at the latter paragraph. The first sentence, do not undertake his function or you will forget yours. It's not our job to do the Holy Spirit's job. We need to leave that job to the Holy Spirit. So again, the Holy Spirit is the one who corrects. The Holy Spirit is the one that transforms. When we try to fix our own thoughts, like again, we notice that judgmental thought and let's say we try to, you know, fix it into a more positive one. There's nothing wrong with that, but the Course, if we're on the Course's path, the Course is saying, let the Holy Spirit be the one to give you the new thought back. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so if we try to take on that self-correction, we're going to forget our function, which is healing, because we're taking on a function that's actually not ours. So that really stands out to me. The other thing, too, that I'll just say that stands out to me as well from this paragraph is that kind of in the middle, you do not need to learn this, but you do need to learn to want this, and for this, all learning was made. This is the Holy Spirit's good use of an ability which you do not need, but which you have made. Give it to him. You do not know how to use it. This is referring to learning. Learning is unneeded in heaven. It's unneeded in truth. It's an ability now that we have to, again, learn that we want truth, that we want God, that we want love, because, again, it makes us happy. And so this ability to learn we can give to the Holy Spirit because we don't actually know how to use it. It says that very clearly right there in the middle of the paragraph. So I kind of like that idea of giving my ability to learn over to the Holy Spirit.
And I could identify so much with what Deidre said earlier. You know, I have spent my entire life controlling my thoughts, thinking, oh, well, you know, not only do I have to, you know, say, oh, you know, don't share that judgment or don't share that thought, but, you know, thinking that I could change it. I totally identified with what Deidre said, and it was extremely helpful to me.
Oh, good.
I'm glad. Because it really is exhausting trying to control all that stuff.
Isn't it? It really is. It's totally exhausting.
It's the Holy Spirit's job, not mine.
Right.
So.
It's totally exhausting. I think I've shared the story before. I went on a long walk once, and I decided I was going to bless everybody. Like, you know, I was just going to choose love and give love to everybody. And I was just spent by the end of the walk. I was exhausted. And it was at another time when I, you know, was walking in the same place. And I was just in a different mindset, and I just felt that love coming through me. And I felt like everyone that I looked at, I just felt just such a love for, such a blessing for. It was a totally different experience, and it was me trying to do it alone versus allowing the Holy Spirit to do it through me. Big
that
difference
is
in how I
felt. Perfect.
That's big.
Yeah.
Huge difference in how I felt.
I could not help but think about you before we started this talk, Corinne, with snow. And all I could think of was, well, I think you've learned your lesson. You've experienced what you had to, because I think you're home tonight rather than coming home from D.C.
Right, right. It's a lesson I don't want to learn anymore. I'm done. I'm not going to take long trips in the snowstorms. Oh, any other comments or questions? We have about a minute or so left.
I think this material is radical.
And I'm so
grateful. It is so unlike what the world teaches.
Mm-hmm.
The world really teaches the opposite of this. It's just so reassuring to know that God loves us to this extent.
Otherwise, it's a pretty fearful place to be in, you know, if you don't have that that backbone. I I've thought about that before. Like, if I didn't have this as my support system, as my frame of reference, as my operating system, the world would really, really feel like a scary place. So I am super grateful. And I'm grateful for all of you and for all of you allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you. I get so much out of these calls.
Oh, me too.
So thank you, everyone. I hope you all have a fantastic week.
Thank you.
And we'll resume next week.
Thank
okay.
you, everyone.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.